why is it good to thank God? And that's what we're going to be talking about from this passage. Before, though, we get into it, a couple of updates for you. Last weekend, I was in North London with James Thomas. They're pictured in the midst of teaching one of the Beatitudes. James and I spent a couple of hours on Saturday morning teaching through the Beatitudes for the North London region of the International Church that we're connected to. We had a wonderful time with our brothers and sisters in the North, James and myself, and some of you will know Charles Elikru. That was a great time on Saturday. And then it was also a privilege to preach on Sunday in the North as well. And the North send their best regards to you. I had a number of people say they would come and visit, so I will hold them to that. I have names and addresses. Previous weekend, of course, I also wasn't here because Penny and myself were in Edinburgh with our sister congregation there. We had a fabulous weekend, not only preaching on Sunday, where we did the mutual examine thing that we did here a little while ago, and they really loved that. They also send their love. Some of you will know people in the church up there. We also spent a good deal of time having meetings with their Bible teaching group and their leadership team and a number of the members in different ways. So it was a very fruitful and busy but good time in Edinburgh. So that's the last couple of weekends. And this last week, I spent most of the week away contemplating Psalm 92, amongst other things. I rented a little pod on a farm in Gloucestershire. In sort of the middle of nowhere, a place called Knotgrove, I think was the name of the hamlet, really, not even a village. And just a little pod on a farm and with llamas in the fields and goats and stuff like that, you know. And spent the week walking and talking and praying. I do this every year, at least once a year. This was this year's opportunity to just think about my life, think about what God is revealing to me, ask him for many things. Got a long prayer list of things to talk about with him, my personal life, my family life, our congregational life, and things like that. So I spent a good amount of time doing that. And this psalm was on my heart because I've been, and this is for another topic for another day, but I've been studying the topic of the Sabbath quite a lot of depth over the last 2 or 3 months and trying to understand a Christian perspective on Sabbath. Not so much the specifics of how the Sabbath was practiced in Judaism, but what the principles might be for a Christian today. And so I'll bring you the fruit of that study another time. But this is the only psalm that's specifically designated as being a song for the Sabbath day. So I've been thinking about this for a while. So I took this psalm sort of with me and prayed through it every day, thought about it, and I want to bring you a few thoughts from it. We are not going to look at the whole psalm today. There's far too much in it for that. But I thought just as something I think helped me and might help us, we would look at the first four verses here. So it begins, "It's good to give thanks to the Lord." And whenever the scriptures say something is good, like specifically say it's good, it probably is something we should pay attention to. And it says it's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love, that's the hesed, loving kindness, steadfast love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night or by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, the melody of the lyre. For, he gives us a reason, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. What's that song? You have made me glad. We should have sung that today, shouldn't we? You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. You have made me. Okay, we know that. We should sing that. Okay, Bemmy can lead that with the drum. Okay. There's reasons to be glad. God's works give us reasons to sing for joy. So here's what we're going to do to start with, and then I've got some thoughts to share afterwards. I'd like us to break into four groups, so sort of two at the front, two at the back, and consider one of these questions. Discuss this for a few minutes. So let's say group one is at my front, on my left here, but on this side, okay? This is group one here. You have question number one. Why is it good to give God thanks and to sing his praises? Why is it good? What is it about that that is good? And then back on this side, yours is the second question. Why is it good to declare God's steadfast love in the morning? Why is it good to declare is an important word, God's steadfast love in the morning? That's your question. At the back on this side, your question is question number three. Why is it good to declare God's faithfulness at night or by night? Why would that be good? And then the front on this side, fourth question, what are the consequences of giving thanks and praise in this way? Some of this is in the psalm. Some of this you need to use other parts of the scriptures and perhaps your imagination.
He's being rude as usual. In answer to the question, we made various comments. One was show gratitude. He's worthy of all our praise and thanks. And it reminds ourselves of all he has done for us too. And we need to give thanks to him all the time in all different sorts of situations, because God knows everything about us. He's with us all of the time. And we also should do it as submission to him. Thank you.
Very good.
I think the thing I'd say is that one of the points I was saying was about having gratitude as a daily practice is very good for for mental health. And it deepens that connection with the Lord. And as we thought about, it's not just not necessarily just the good things, but also the more challenging things that he can help you get through. And I guess sometimes you don't know the meaning of those things until later on, but just that sort of attitude, I guess it's just like almost like a compass for making that sort of deeper connection.
Very good. Thank you very much. Next group. Is that okay for now? Okay. Second group over there. Second question. Excuse me. Why is it good to declare God's steadfast love in the morning? Maggie.
Describe.
Okay, Maggie. Morning.
One thing we thought about is to declare means to say out loud, to not just think it in your head, but really actually bring it out and say out loud and say it to yourself, to others, and to God. We thought that in the morning is very important because it sets you up for their whole day and gets you focused from stop thinking about other things and worries and problems, but actually let's just think about God's love and how steadfast and kind he is. And it's very intentional. And then you can go out and you can think of others and give to others your love and being grateful. You made it through the night. He's setting you up for a new day. And it's steadfast, it shows like loyalty, unbreakability. He's chasing after you. It's firm. It's there. It's and it gets you really, really focused on his love. And just to help us to be intentional about, okay, let's just declare, let's think about his love, let's think about it in the morning. And through the rest of the day, you're feeling at peace because you're focused on how comforting God's love is, how reliable his love is, how he's always there for you. And do you guys want to add anything else?
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you. There's a book in that, I think. Okay, our third group. Why is it good to declare God's faithfulness at night?
Well, I'd just like to thank the group. They came up with some fantastic insights, so thank you for that. So what we have down here is that it's a recognition that God has been faithful to us, for us, for the whole day. And giving thanks to God and praising him and declaring his faithfulness can be the last thing we can have on our lips before we go to sleep. It's a point of where there's some intimacy, there's some closeness with God, a point of where we can give some gratitude and some reflection on how God has answered our prayers that we put to him in the morning and to see how he has answered them through the day. We may have a rough day every now and then. We may be tired at the end of the day. And it's a way of still thanking God. It's a way of offloading our stresses of the day to God. And it's a way of understanding that and acknowledging that God has been with us throughout the day. Even at moments when we may forget that he's there, it's an understanding that he has been there through the good, the highs, and the ups and the lows. And finally, it's a way of really giving it to God when he talks about declaring God's faithfulness. One of giving it of prayer and is talking to God in a solemn and an emphatic manner. So thank you, my group.
Okay, great, great, good stuff, good stuff. All right, excellent. Now our fourth question to our fourth group, what are the consequences of giving thanks and praise in this way? Our guests, Mark and Marcia, take it away. Bring us your South of the River wisdom.
Okay, so so there's quite a lot that was shared, actually. So, like, a few things here that were shared was, like, for example, if we put God at the forefront of all of what we do, then, you know, definitely he's on radar to graciously be able to work things out for us. It causes us to reflect on what he's done. It helps us to count on our blessings. It gives us faith of the past and present challenges and the way that God has worked through those in our current times. And then it also helps us to build faith on what he's going to do for future tests and trials and anything that we're trying to overcome, you know, in all different areas, whether it's to do with character challenges, whether it's to do with issues at work, whether it's to do with relationships, loved ones being ill, and the list goes on. And then when we really reflect and keep parking on God's goodness and God's grace and the way that he's worked in our lives, it just helps us to keep us away from Satan's lies, and it tries to prevent our minds and our hearts going down into a very negative spiral and into a hole that Satan wants to bring us in. And, you know, and finally, it just keeps us faithful, joyful, and just a heart that just continuously wants to rely on him and his goodness.
Fantastic. Good stuff, huh? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And do you have any comments online? Not today? Okay. All right. We love you guys online. I'm sure you've got deep spiritual insights. Never mind. Share them another time. This is really helpful, isn't it? It's helpful to hear from each other. A church community is healthier when we're learning from one another, from God, but through one another. We're hearing different things. I hope perhaps you've heard something from something that somebody shared that was relevant to you today. For your relationship with God. Let me give you a couple of thoughts of my own. I liked what a couple of you said about the fact that it's good to declare, to sing the praises of God and to thank him out loud, declare his out loud. There's something about the physical, uniting the intellectual and the physical, the bodily and the spiritual in something that we do, isn't there? You know, you can love somebody, but if you don't actually tell them, they may not believe you do, or they may forget, or there's something about saying it. There's something it does to our connection with God when we tell him, I love you, God. I think you're amazing, God. I'm in awe of you, God. I have so much to thank you for. Here's five things I want to thank you for today. It does something to speak it out loud. And prayer in the head is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something about sharing what we really believe with him. It deepens our conviction and somehow gives us a stronger foundation. Why do it in the morning? I listened to a sermon by Lance's favorite preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, on this. It wasn't a live recording because he's long dead before recordings existed, but it was somebody reading a transcript of his sermon on this psalm. And he had a lovely little insight that I carried with me all week, which was, why do we declare God's steadfast love in the morning? Well, basically, we're saying, thank you, God, for loving me enough to give me a new day. Thank you that I'm waking up in my bed and not in my coffin. Not that you would obviously literally wake up in your coffin, because the metaphor breaks down slightly, but you get the point, right? Oh, look, I've woken up. It's another day. God has given me another day. He's loved me enough to give me another day. Here I am. I mean, that's something to celebrate even at the beginning of the day. His love and grace means we have a new day. We don't get a new day because we've earned it or deserve it or we could pay for it or it was our right. We have a new day because it is a gift. Even with all of its trouble, it's still a gift. And that's one of the reasons it's wise and good to declare God's steadfast love in the morning. There's always something to thank God for. You know, a number of you have asked me what's going on with my hand here. And no, I haven't been punching the wall. As some of you have suggested, given the pennies away and I'm on my own, you know, and frustrated or something, I don't know. No, I have some tendon damage that's built up over a long period of time, and this is helping to support it. And I have this, and I still have my sciatica, which is troubling me considerably. And there's all kinds of things in our lives that drag us down a bit, right? That make us feel heavy. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are days I feel heavy, and it's like a physical thing, but it's not really physical. Do you know what I mean? It's emotional, really, but I feel it in my body. We've got to remember there are still things to thank God for. He's loving us. I mean, as you will know, those of you who know me, one of my main things I thank God for every day is my granddaughter, Talia. That was yesterday. I visited them in Bristol over the Friday, Saturday. And she did something for the first time this time when I visited, is she was in her mum's arms. She saw me. She squirmed to get out of her mum's arms. She got down to the ground and she ran towards me with her arms open. She's hugged me before, but she's never run to me. I mean, if I could bottle that moment, and then I scooped her up and she just hugged me and hugged me and just, you know, when small children, she's not quite two, they sort of flop onto you. You know that feeling if you're a parent? She just flopped there. And I was like, this is a nice hug. Put you down? Maybe, no, okay. Stick around and hug some more. And I need to remember God's blessings. That's one that helps me. And one way it helps me with this is we have a digital photo frame in our kitchen. And I always have, it rotates pictures, right? And I always have quite a lot of photographs of her on there. And I just have to look across. And there she is. Anyway, I could talk about her all day, but I will spare you. But there's always something to thank God for. Maybe we need to be more deliberate about recalling those things, making a list of those things, write them down, pray about them. It will help us with our remembrance of God's steadfast love in the morning. God's faithfulness, it says, we remember by night or at night. Some very good points in that group back there. Yes, we remember God in the evening. You've got to think about this too, that for many of us, we don't really have an evening that's different from the day. What I mean by that is, yes, you might finish work at 6 or 7 o'clock and then you're home, but the day isn't that different in the sense we're still in a lit home. We've still got distractions and noise around us. We got people, or the radio is on, or the television, or something online, or watching YouTube videos. But for somebody who was working in the fields all day when this psalm was written, they come home and it gets dark, and it gets dark. You might have a candle or a lamp, but you don't have electric lighting, and you don't have televisions or internet to distract you from. You're with your family and you're with yourself. It draws you in. And there's something about our rhythms that I think one of the reasons why this is a Sabbath psalm is it's there because of the rhythms that God gave the Israelites. We need rhythms too. And this psalm is talking about those rhythms of thanks in the morning and then thanks again, but for the faithfulness in the evening. And maybe it's a good idea to have a deliberate cutoff point from all the other inputs at some point in our evening, and we turn everything off, every screen, every light, if you like. You might bump around in the dark, I don't know, but maybe turn it down or just draw things in together and be with God late in the day, late in the evening. I think that's how God created us, isn't it? I mean, we're designed for that. not for this technologically saturated world. And the technology is good stuff, but we have to think about how we connect with God at the end of the day, not just at the beginning of the day. And as we look back through the day, we notice how God has been with us. And we remember what he's been like. And I think there's also a second kind of metaphor here. The evening may also be a metaphor for the later stages of life. When you're a young person and a young Christian, God is faithful, but you haven't seen much of it. But when you've been an older person of 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and you've been a Christian maybe many decades, you look back and you see his faithfulness stretching out behind you. And maybe for those of us a little older, we need to take that time to thank him for his long, decades-long faithfulness to us. One of my experiences on my retreat was I went into the city of Gloucester one day. And I went there because I wanted to visit the cathedral. Last time I was at that cathedral, I was 11 years old. So that's a long time ago, over 50 years ago. And I was there in 1972, I think it was, because I was singing in the cathedral. I was in a parish church choir, and we every summer went to sing in cathedrals for a week. And my first time ever doing this was Gloucester Cathedral with my church choir. And we sang two services every day for a whole week. We did a concert. We did extra services on top of that. I had a wonderful time. I loved singing. I loved singing in the choir. It was just fantastic fun. And I walked back into the cathedral and just thought about the fact that 50-odd years ago, I was sitting in one of those little spots right there, singing. And why is that significant to what I'm talking about? It's significant because in that upbringing I had from the age of about 7 to about 18, 19, 20, every Sunday I sang the majestic hymns about God. Like the song we sang, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Every Sunday, usually twice on a Sunday, and rehearsal on practice on Friday night and on Thursday night. There was the boys on Thursday, the whole choir on Friday. Every week, pretty much 52 weeks of the year for, 15 years or more. I sang those hymns about God, and it somehow kind of seeped into me. And I sang the Psalms. I would have sung Psalm 92 many times over those years. So we sang the Psalms every week. And there's something about that grounding that gave me some kind of foundational faith that prepared me later for my personal relationship with God to become meaningful. And I thought about God's faithfulness. Little did I know, as an 11-year-old singing in there, that would be an important part of God's work in my life to help me to come to know him later. God's faithfulness stretches back a long way to us. It's important to take time now and again to remember that. So what I'd like us to do now is to turn our thoughts to what we can thank God for today. What can you thank God for today? What can you thank God for today regarding his steadfast love? What can you thank God today for regarding his faithfulness? Perhaps something's happened even this morning, or maybe it was yesterday or sometime in the last few days. But where have you seen his steadfast love evident to you? Where have you seen his faithfulness clearly to you? I'd like to take a moment, and we're going to take 2 minutes just to reflect on all this. And if you want to pray, you can pray. And I will pray in a couple of minutes just to round that out. But let's just take a moment to think about God's love and his faithfulness. And I'll time that for 2 minutes. Then I'll pray. Feel free to pray if you want, in your head or out loud if you want. Father, we agree with you, Father. It is good to give thanks to you. You are worthy of praise. We've been singing your praises today, Father. Help us to sing your praises through the week. We do declare, God, that your steadfast love is meaningful to us. And we do declare that you have been faithful to us. Father, thank you that you've made us glad by your work, and that the work of your hands cause us to sing for joy. Help us to go through this week aware of your steadfast love for us and aware of your faithfulness to us. Help us to carry that awareness with us so that we can celebrate with you all week long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.